Blog Talk Radio.
It's almost time.
You right there with the pretzel. Time to sit down. Who's man? Yeah.
Hey, you going to the concession stand. You going to the bathroom. Come back. The show's about to start.
Got my boys. We out here ready. We about to be some high-flying, high-slamming, slammer-jammer, three-point shooting between the legs, behind your back, through your legs, on your neck. Hey, everybody, if you guys can get in your seats, I'm going to sing the national anthem.
Ready.
It's time to put it down the babies. Put down the pepperoni.
Let's go!
5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Game time!
Well, family, it's another Parents Culture Parent Network Blog Talk Radio Show. I'm your host, M.H. Scott. And again, we're going to have another great informative session here. And hopefully parents are getting something out of this. And each and every time you have the opportunity to listen to one of the Parents Culture Parent Network podcasts, then if you like what you hear and you think the information is valuable, go ahead and click on the follow button and let us know anytime we come up on the air. So for right now, be prepared to get some great information because we're going to talk about some things today that's going to give you a little bit of insight on what is an athletic scholarship. You know, I think that's what I titled it today, Institutions That Provide Athletic Funds. You know, because oftentimes we don't know what institutions actually provide those athletic funds. So that's a little bit of what we're going to talk about here today. But, you know, as always, before I go live, I got to go ahead and give my man, Mr. Keith Wright, a little something. Go ahead, Keith, where you at?
Student of the game, had people front and talk about me, but that ain't no thing. See, I know what would make it with the knowledge in my brain, and if I succeed with that, then be ball would do the same. I can't complain the situation that I'm in. Meeting different connects that turn out to be my friends. I know it'll turn out great when my 4 years come to an end, and when the ball starts bouncing on my diploma out the pen, but I'm hating then. Playing ball is just a small part. With this education, I have a great start. And if you work hard for the teachers, they might be showing love in the stands or in the bleachers. I'm only preaching. I'm just trying to spit knowledge and the knowledge opportunities at your disposal when you get to college. I use ball as a tool. Now every day I'm living and I'm making smart moves. That's how I do.
Well, there, parents, you know, each and every time I hear that from my man, Mr. Keith Wright, I get one main thing out of the show, and a statement that he's making smart cool. He's making smart cool. Now, you know, oftentimes you don't share too many things like that, especially when you're talking about if you're one of them parents that's not really into the rap thing, but my man Keith decided to put that together for me. He did it in about a day and a half, and I was pleased with that, and you know, very good content, very good lyrics, very good informative little message that he decided to put there. So I decided to share it with my audience of the Parents Culture Parent Network. Each and every time I have the opportunity, I decide to share that information with them. But, you know, the point that I get out of it is that he decided to say he's making smart cool. That's how he do it. He's making smart cool. Ain't nothing wrong with that. I can go along with you every day, all day with that statement there, Keith. Parents, if you get a chance, pass that on to your student athletes as well and let them know that, hey, there's no problem with making smart cool. But what are we going to talk about here today? You know, I put a few things up there on the show page, basically asking a few questions. And I know some of you parents had an opportunity to take a look at it, and some of you probably didn't, probably just tuned in because you love the way the Parent Coach and Parent Network do their thing. But let me go back and look at some of those questions that we put up there on the show page. That way we can go ahead and talk about a few of those things right off the bat. We're going to be on the air for probably about the next 15, 20 minutes, so if you have a question, you'll want to just talk to us here at the Parents Coaching Parent Network and give us a call at 646 929 646-929-2416. 646-929-2416. What is an athletic scholarship? You know, we talk about what institutions provide athletic funds, and the first thing that pops in most parents' heads is athletic scholarship. So what is an athletic scholarship? You know, athletic scholarship are those funds that your student athlete is receiving individual schools award athletic scholarships, not the NCAA, Division One, Division Two offer athletic scholarships. Division Three offers academic scholarships only. Athletic scholarship. Let's see if we can go ahead and break that down a little bit more. Now that I gave you who does what, athletic scholarship is those funds. And not saying that your child will receive those funds in hand, but it is a part of the child's tuition that's being paid based upon his or her athletic ability, his or her athletic merit. And athletic scholarship is can be anything from a partial scholarship to what you will call a full scholarship. And let's straighten out that term first and foremost. And I've said this on previous shows before, but I'll say it again. A full scholarship consists of one academic year, one complete academic year, renewable at the end of that academic year. What is a full scholarship? And break it down, make it plain and simple for you. One academic year. Let's not get it mixed up or confused and think that a full scholarship is for 4 years of that child's time at the institution. It's for one academic year only. Okay. What is the full scholarship normally worth? Full scholarship normally worth in state, we're talking about, full scholarship just under $14,000. You're talking in state and you're talking out of state, public school, public institution, you're looking at somewhere around about $24,000 per year. Now we get into a whole new different ballpark when we start talking about out of state and private schools, and we a whole new different ballpark when we talk about private schools. You know, when you're talking about private schools, you can look at anything slightly over $32,000 or better. All right, but going back to what I initially said, the academic scholarship is based on your child's athletic abilities, and and I talked about the full scholarship part of the full scholarship. Is that full academic year that your student athlete is receiving funds from the school. And we can also look at it from the standpoint of what portion of the tuition is your child receiving. Are they receiving for meals, lodging, books, incidentals, the whole works, or are they just receiving room, and meals and books, So you have to look at that, and that determines whether or not you're getting the full portion of it or whether or not you're getting partial portion of it. Very few student athletes actually receive a full scholarship. Very small percentage that actually receives a full scholarship. You look at a lot of student athletes. Oftentimes they receive partial scholarships. They may get part of their tuition covered. Something simple as room and board and books. And then you have to come up with some portion of it to cover their lodging Well, you have to come up with some portion of it to cover their meals and, you know, any other incidentals that they may need, any other additional funding that they may need. So if you're talking about a partial, you may get a small portion of it, and you may get a bulk of it, but you will get some of it. Now, that's for Division One and Division Two. Division Three offers academic scholarships only. Academic scholarships only. That's where parents, you have to go out there and you may find a grant of some sort. You want to try to, if you're pursuing the athletic side of things, you want to try to stay away from the loans, of course, as much as possible, and look for all the available grants. There are several sites out there that have information pertaining to grants, and you can look that information up. And I can provide that information. I'm quite sure I've talked about it on one of my previous shows, but they also have various sites that offer grants as well. But athletic academic scholarships for the Division III, and when I talk about academic scholarships for Division III, we're talking about based upon your child's academic standards, you know, based upon where their grades look like, you know, whether or not they're able to get into a particular institution or whether or not they're able to receive any funds getting into that institution. And if they're receiving some funds, then you can offset that by finding a couple of grants, and hey, hopefully you'll have the whole thing paid for, or you may still have to come out of pocket with a small portion. But, you know, Division One, Division Two, you got your athletic scholarships. Division Three, you come up with your academic scholarships only. Academic scholarships only. And you can find information on actually how the scholarship works and all that other good information actually on the www.ncaa.org. It has a section just for that sole purpose. How do athletic scholarships work? And they give you a full rundown on athletic scholarships. It even goes into as far as the number of student athletes who become professional athletes, give you that percentage as well. And that's information that you can probably share with your student athlete, and, you know, like we like to say here on the Parents Coach Parent Network, with your child, of course. But let's talk about institutions that offer, you know, the funds. You know, like I said, it's Division One and Division Two, and Division Three offers academic scholarships. And, you know, oftentimes parents, we steer away from, or our children shy away from, wanting to go to a Division III school. Now, mind you, I've only brushed on a small percentage because, you know, realistically, we can talk, you know, junior college, and we can talk NAIA, and that's a whole new different world of how things go and how the process is done and everything else. Right now, I'm talking NC2A and talking about Division III. Oftentimes, our students shy away from Division III, wanting to go to a Division III, and I'm not sure why. I think it's the perception, misinformation, and things like that, or, you know, just based upon what they hear from their peers. Oh, that's a D3 school. You know, that's not where you want to be. That's you better than that. But you have to remember this. There are quite a few Division III schools that have high-caliber players. You know, some of the players that you may have seen at some of these Division III schools were once, at some point in time, you know, the star point guard on the team, or the quarterback or running back, or, you know, the key player on the soccer field, or, you know, your whoever on the team was a prominent player on the high school team. But just due to maybe undersized for a Division II or Division I level, You know, because if you look at the average guard, you know, full-time guard, no, not full-time guard, but if you look at, we're talking basketball here, if you look at a guard that's on the Division I team, mid-major or higher, you look at a guard on that team, the average guard on that team is probably right at 6 feet. Now, if your child was a 5'6" point guard on the high school team, best player on the team, or considered, you know, one of the top players on the team, that he or she may not make it, or, you know, pan out at the division, may not pan out at the Division I level. So Division II, Division III, and Division III oftentimes, like I said, have a lot of top players that simply are undersized for the Division I and II level, and they often go on to play at the Division III level. You know, you never know. Your team captain, if he or she was quarterback, or, you know, if he was a quarterback and you know, on the volleyball team, was a you know, big time spiker, you know, and was able to get up off the ground and do their thing, then you never know what may happen at that Division III level. So don't allow your child to totally dismiss the thought of going to a Division III school, because you have a lot of bona fide high school players at the Division III level. You know, don't talk down about, you know, Division III caliber and this, that, and that. You want to stay away from all that kind of stuff. But like I said, you have a lot of true players at the Division III level. You know, if you look at competitiveness at the division, you know, within the Division I, II, and III, and then we going to be, oh, wow, time has slipped up on us there. We probably can talk for another hour or so. But if you look at the competitiveness at the Division I, II, and III level, you know, it's really broken down into several different areas, you know. And if you look at it strictly from the NCAA, and again, I'm not talking about junior college, or am I talking about NAIA? But, you know, you have your upper majors, you know, you have your big time schools that you hear about all the time. They're always on TV. They get a lot of press coverage, so on and so forth. Then you have your mid majors, you know, and this is still at the Division I level. You know, then you even have low majors that, you know, they're still a Division I school based upon, you know, the size of the program and attendance and the whole works, and, you know, what their size of their school. You know, they have maybe a low major, but still a Division I school. And then you have at the Division II level, you know, you have the highly competitive squads, you know, that probably can compete with some of the Division I schools. And then you also have, you know, our average to moderate competitive squads at the Division II level. And then you have your Division III level, where you have highly competitive, moderately competitive, and less competitive, you know. And again, any of these schools are good enough to give your child a educational, great education, you know, just because, you know, what it says or how it's broken down for the athletic side of things doesn't necessarily mean that is, you know, what he or she is going to get out of the academic side of things. You know, oftentimes we look at the schools sometimes for the wrong reason, and, you know, I have a whole new different perspective of how to look at a school when it comes time for a student athlete to attend a particular school. But that's a whole nother story, and we can talk about that at another day. Again, if you want to talk about anything, if you have any questions for us, you can give us a call at 646-929-2416. 646-929-2416 here at the Parents Coaching Parent Network. Okay. you know, again, I'll go through them again. You know, at the Division One level, you got upper major, you got the mid major, division, and you got lower major. Then Division Two, you got highly competitive, moderately competitive. Division Three, highly competitive, moderately competitive, and less competitive. So realistically, you're looking at that. You have just within the NCAA schools, Division One, Two, and Three, you have 8 different levels of competition. And what I would say is make a quick and early assessment and have someone help you do this. Make a quick and early assessment of where do your child fit in at those levels. And any good coach will be able to help you with this information. Any good high school coach, and sometimes you may have some of the summertime coaches or off-season coaches that's out there, you know, doing their own programs, you know, whether or not it's AAU or select or all-star teams or whatever, and they can be able to give you a very good assessment of what level your child or your student-athlete fits into. And then once you get a consensus of that, then your child has to realistically look at that and say, okay, if that's what I'm going to shoot for, that's what I'm shooting for. You know, if they have the ability and skills to play at a upper major, Division One, but due to a lack of confidence or whatever, and we'll be talking more about that part later on down the line, but due to a lack of confidence, you know, they may think that, or somebody's telling them, oh, at best you may be a D2 athlete, whatever. No. You let them push for whatever they want to push for as long as they're able to put in the work and do what they have to do to get the job done. You never know. Some coach may look at them and see that the child has a, you know, as they say it now, very high ceiling, or, you know, have a lot of potential. You know, they don't use simple words nowadays as far as the child has a lot of potential. You know, they have terminology as upside and a very high ceiling. And, you know, things like that, you know, I guess that must be coach's language or whatever. But if your child has a very high ceiling, you know, or have a great upside, as they would put it, you know, I say potential, then he or she should be able to be afforded the opportunity to play at that level. All depends on whether or not they want to put in the work and dedication to be effective at that level. In most intercollegiate sports, Division II and Division III schools will seldom defeat a Division I school. You know, oftentimes you'll see the Division IIs, Division IIIs playing Division I's. You very rarely see a Division II or Division III beat a Division I in competition. That doesn't mean anything. That just simply means that, you know, again, the other team, the division team, Division One team, is probably outsized. The division, Division One team, is probably oversized compared to the Division Two and Division Three squad. So it doesn't necessarily mean that your child is not as competent, as talent is not at that same level as the individual playing on that Division One team. Simply means that there may be a size difference, something that's obvious, saying, oh, okay, well, maybe that's not where your child wants to be. But, you know, we're winding down on time, and I thank you this afternoon for being here on the Parents Culture Parent Network. Hopefully I've provided somewhat of interesting information and something that will pique your curiosity and think about college potential for your student athlete and help you come up with a better selection process of how you're going to try to guide your student athlete to the proper institution. You know, don't try to stick him or her into a Division I school if he or she doesn't have Division I potential, you know. There may be an imbalance and may actually be more harmful to the student athlete than helpful, because may get out there and may not get any playing time just based upon someone not thinking that he or she meets, you know, meets the requirement, but they brought him on the squad because they're a friend of a friend or whoever. So be very cautious on when you're getting down to selecting the school. But again, Division One and Two offers athletic scholarship. Division Three offers academic scholarships. So on that note, we're going to close out with my man, Mr. Keith Wright, and I'll see you again next Wednesday, same time, same channel. Oh, yeah, keep doing it.
Student of the game, had people front and talk about me, but that ain't no thing. See, I know what would make it with the knowledge in my brain, and if I